Hi, friends. Welcome to the Kansas City Momcast, a place to learn, connect, and grow in a relevant and intentional way. We're your hosts, Sarah and Megan. Join us as we interview experts in the field and hear from local moms just like you. This is a podcast for Kansas City moms by Kansas City moms. We know your time is precious, and we're grateful you've chosen to spend some of it with us. Thank you for being a part of the Kansas City Mom Collective community. Hi, friends. Welcome back. So today we are tackling the topic of youth sports, which has become quite the loaded topic. We discuss the change in the culture over time, the potential mental health repercussions, and what we can do as parents sitting in the stands. Covering this topic today with us are Dr. Raylene Nola, Vice President of Population Health at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, and Donice Smith, Executive Director for Administration at the Urban Youth Academy. This was a fascinating and very informative conversation that I hope you enjoy as much as we did. Let's get started.
Now listen up for a health tip from our friends at Children's Mercy Hospital.
There are lots of germs being passed around this time of year. Proper hand washing is a simple and effective way to stay healthy. Wet your hands with water, lather and scrub the entire surface, including fingertips and nails, with soap for at least 20 seconds, the amount of time it takes to sing the alphabet song. Then rinse and dry hands thoroughly with a single-use towel. Children's Mercy Kansas City is built for kids. That's why they've been taking care of the kids in the community for more than 125 years. Learn more at cmkc.link/builtforkids. Parents know it's always important to have snacks on hand to help ward off the hanger. Think about easy-to-go snacks that contain 2 to 3 food groups, things like trail mix, cheese, and crackers, or celery and peanut butter, that will keep your little one satisfied longer. Keeping these snacks on hand can help keep smiles on your little one's faces. Children's Mercy Kansas City is built for kids. That's why they have been taking care of the kids in the community for more than 125 years. Learn more at cmkc.link/builtforkids. Good morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're really excited for this conversation. It's a topic we've wanted to tackle for, I think, a year. Yes. And so we're excited to finally have some experts to discuss it with. Can you first just kind of give us some context of how each of your roles and work relate to the youth sports community?
Sure. I can go first if you'd like.
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
So my name is Raylene Nola, and I am the Vice President of Population Health for Blue KC. And my role here at Blue KC is ultimately I'm responsible for the behavioral health, as well as the care management, utilization, quality, and accreditation teams. And the true focus of all of our population health space is to truly focus on better health outcomes and access to good quality care here in our community. And so within that, there's quite a bit of work we're doing in behavioral health with different partnerships that we have. And one of our strong partnerships, of course, is with the Royals. Yes. We've also partnered with The Current on Shut Out the Sideline. We have a new partnership with Children's Mercy. And we are active in supporting our community for what we can do to improve not only overall health, but a big focus on behavioral health, given the crisis that our country's in right now.
Very cool. Donice, you want to share kind of what you do?
Yes. So I am the executive director at the Kansas City Royals Urban Youth Academy, where we teach baseball and softball, and we use that as an avenue to help underserved youth become the leaders of tomorrow. So we feel that it's important to introduce baseball and softball at a young age so that they will be lovers of the game of baseball at an early age. So I think that sport is important in the development of our youth, and it teaches lots of life skills that they can use when we launch them into the world.
That's awesome. Well, you guys have very cool jobs. So Sarah and I have talked a lot about this. So we know how youth sports have changed from like the time when we were kids to being parents with our own kids now. How do you see a shift in that from your positions just over time?
Yes. Yeah, so I'll start. I think that first, I think you're calling me old when you say how has this changed, but I'm not claiming that.
Not at all.
Well, we're the old people saying, remember when there were city leagues and everyone just got assigned a team?
I'm always like to Sarah, I'm like, what happened to rec sports?
Yeah. So that's how you know that you're old. But
I know. We're there with you, friend.
I would say that kids aren't outside playing as much as we were. Yes. I think my mom would always say, go out, play, and be in the house before the streetlights came on. So we'd be out all day. So I think it's important nowadays that parents meet their kids where they are. Mm-hmm. And communication is very important. I think that kids want to have a say in what is going on. So I think if you have that open communication with your kids, they can communicate what their likes and dislikes are. And I think the biggest thing is have them try everything and see what they really want to do.
Yeah, that's good. Dr. Nola, anything to add to that? Just how you've seen kind of maybe sports culture shift
in the past
couple decades?
We've nailed it with the amount of time and the youth, just enjoyment and getting outside and playing and different focuses. So I think that's something we have to consider, especially when we look at, in my mind, whole person health, physical and mental health. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the landscape is changing so much. Youth sports in the last 20 years, there's been, you know, similar to what we were just starting to hint towards, but the emergence of club sports, mm-hmm. elite level skills that are necessary versus sports enjoyment and development. Mm-hmm. There's a huge industry out there. I think I read in an article in 2022 that in the United States alone, we've generated over $15 billion annually in youth sports industry. So, you know, there's a lot of push behind that. There's a lot of push for young athletes to become elite athletes. There's an overemphasis on winning. There's somewhat of a discouragement we see at times of the enjoyment, but more on how good you can be.
Yep.
And so a lot of times that puts for perfectionism and pressure on a lot of our youth athletes too, when the focus really needs to be on what they're enjoying and how they're developing and all the life skills they get out of sports. So I think we've seen that shift. I think we're trying to recapture that and make changes. But I think it's probably one of the parts that makes it even harder, because some of the, you know, work and evidence that we see out there, and the work is more focused, what I should say, is on trying to stop where we've gone with it. But there's such a huge industry now that it's really hard to I almost say, protect our youth and protect our children mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. make sure they're getting what they need out of sport. It becomes more of an effort for all of us to focus on the child than it is the actual sport.
Totally.
I think that's a really interesting point about the like financials of it, just how much money is being made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which on a micro level, luckily we've been able to keep our kids at a rec level, but mm-hmm. the amount of money that parents are pumping into tournaments and paid coaches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of feelings. So can you touched on this, but any positives that you might see from the way, I guess, sports have evolved, but then any additional, you know, concerns you have about, you know, from the, I guess, physical and mental health?
Mm-hmm. I can start on this one if you'd like. I think, you know, some of the positives that are there are, you know, the ones that have always been there. When we think about the enthusiasm of children wanting to play, period, you know, mm-hmm. as far as what sport, I think there's a lot more options of different sports out there for kids to play.
Yes,
I think when we think about physical and mental development, there's so much that comes out of it. And when we say that about life skills, but building that team sport, the discipline, the routine, the camaraderie of the sport, the learning the highs and the lows and how to get back up again, how to build resilience, you know, we all know through failure that we learn and we grow, but getting that growth mindset in sports and not just in school is so important as a life skill. And so I think a lot of those are still positives that we see in sports. I think some of the negatives come from what we were just saying, the pressure and the, you know, perfectionism of you have to be a, you know, you're going to, only way you're going to go to college is if you get a scholarship, when 7% of athletes, you know, go to college on athletes, or 1% of athletes, you know, 1% of kids end up playing a pro sport. So a kid at 10 years old feeling they have to be perfect and great. I mean, we're going away from the sidelines now of 6 and 7 year olds that are getting yelled and screamed at on the sidelines to do things perfect. And so I think we've gone too far and we've taken out some of the fun. And so some of the negatives are that we're taking that away from, you know, even adolescents. And I think we've got to balance that.
Denise, I'm curious from your perspective, when you talk about this culture of club sports and the financial impact, how are you seeing that affect underserved youth who maybe don't have the financial resources to compete in club sports or, you know, pay for the uniforms and the tournaments? And how does that affect that population?
So I would say that being here at the Urban Youth Academy for about 3.5 months and just background in 20 years in college athletics, you see it from the beginning to the end. So just working with our youth here at the Urban Youth Academy, we're able to provide them with baseballs, bats, cleats, any of the gear that they need. And everything that we do here is at no cost. So I think this is a great start to the introduction of baseball and softball to the youth in this community. I would say, to piggyback on what Dr. Nola said, as you talk about the climate and the positives and negatives, I would say that being an athlete is important because you learn those transferable skills. You learn the leadership skills. You learn the time management. You learn how to adapt. You learn decision-making skills. And I think the biggest part of being an athlete is you learn those social skills. You know, we went through a pandemic and we didn't get a lot of socialization. So I think it's important to be around different kids from different backgrounds, things like that. You learn to socialize. And I just think that helps you in life.
For sure.
I think it's interesting how, I mean, we've seen with our sons in baseball, it very much seems like it consolidates into one type of family and one, you know, as they create like these super teams of kids that they're paying for lessons. And it's just such an interesting phenomenon of, especially when you mentioned the 7% of kids who are going to go to college in athletics. Like,
or the 1% going pro. Isn't that what, Dr. Nola, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yes.
So the chances are low, everyone. If you hear one thing today. Jeez. Oh, I have strong opinions. Okay, so at what age, if any, should kids start to specialize in one sport over another? What are your thoughts on that?
And I can go first. Or
yeah, sure. Go ahead, Dr. Nola.
You know, one, I think it is so individual. So I think the answer I would say is it depends, and if ever. But there is research out there that, you know, some of the recommendations are the, you know, 14 years old, but keeping 20% of the training still non-specialized, but kind of going into high school. But, you know, I would challenge that, and that I still think that is somewhat of a decision that is focused on looking at trying to get kids specialized in high school so that they prepare for college, or they've got to commit to one because if they go to club, it's going to be year round. I still think there's external influences on even those recommendations. I think the reality is it really is so individual. I do think it depends so much on similar of meeting the kids where they are, meeting a child and what their interest is. Mm-hmm. I can say my own personal bias as a parent and as a clinician is that I want my kids to be in multiple sports for as long as possible. I think there's research out there that does support, you know, kids who play one sport have a higher risk for mental health concerns of developing depression, anxiety, eating disorders, substance misuse. And a lot of that falls on, you know, if they have one sport and they get injured and they can't play that sport and their identity is defined by that sport, then they feel, what do I have to offer? This is, you know, the only thing I know. And so I think getting to one sport is difficult. I also think when we think about burnout and overuse syndrome and injuries, when you have a misbalance in development, especially children as they're going through puberty and other ages, there's so much changing in their body. You know, they, if they're playing one sport, there's a tendency to have other injuries, and you'll see it a lot on these teams too, that are getting built from every top athlete they try to get from every school in one team, that are being pushed so much. And so to me, I really believe that having multiple sports and activities is what's best for development and best for, you know, adolescent children. But I would say every child is different, and there's nothing wrong if they only love and want to play one sport. Then I think it's up to us as coaches, parents, teachers, you know, as a community, to support other interests so that we don't fall accustomed to that's the only thing they identify with.
Sure. No, that's great. Donise, do you have anything to add to that? Just about becoming highly specialized in one sport at a young age.
Yes. So I would say that I think kids specialize too soon. Mm-hmm. And when they specialize so soon, it takes the fun out of everything because it becomes very serious.
Yes.
And like Dr. Nola said, I think that that affects mental wellness. You become anxious, and perfection is a big part of it. Mm-hmm. I would say that just being in college athletics and now working with youth, that it's important that you play as many sports as long as you can, because I think they complement each other. And as we talk about injuries and burnout, different things like that, I think playing multiple sports develops different muscles and things like that, that you need to help the kids be able to play longer. So I think by the time you get to high school, you're probably going to narrow it down to two sports. And then with recruiting and everything that's going on, you'll kind of know if you're going to go to the next level. So that's what I would say. I would say don't specialize so soon.
Yeah, that's good.
And I agree.
Yeah, that's great. Great advice. So knowing what this climate looks like, and you know, a lot of it is very systematic of this is what you do next. And, you know, maybe you're in a club sport and they say you can't do another sport. How can parents push back against that? Or what can they do at their level to ensure kids are still loving the game and not burning out, like studies show us at like age 10?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. I would say that parents need to be involved. I think parents need to be educated on what's going on in youth sports. Maybe it's talking about the mental wellness. Maybe it's figuring out what it looks like if your kids specialize. And so as we're talking about kids burning out and how parents can be involved, I think the biggest thing is be involved, communicate with your kids and take ownership. I mean, coaches are going to coach, but you're still going to be the parent. So mm-hmm. I say just take ownership of your kids and what their futures are going to look like and go from there.
Yeah. I'm going to add something in on that, to that, literally that exact point. I have a friend who has a boy in third grade, so he's 9. And she was talking about how his coach is yelling and screaming at the boys and cussing at them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, if that was my child, we'd be done. Like, I mean, I just don't understand that. And I don't understand keeping your kid in that environment. So to your point of like, at the end of the day, you are still the parent. I think it's really important, right?
I know. I 100% agree. And I just went through this literally last week in a personal scenario with one of my children.
Yeah.
In a similar scenario, but you know, one of the things I've always told my kids at home was, you know, because I don't want them to learn to quit is, you know, you have to finish a season if you start it.
Yes.
One, we've invested in it. Your team needs your support. You know, I don't want them to think when things get hard, they can quit. Another one liner I've always had is, you know, we don't quit on a bad day. We, you know, we need to look back on a positive day and say, are we really done? But just trying to, you know, work on resilience there. But I've had a scenario where I had 2 or 3 games in a row where my daughter after the game was just bawling about how her coach made her feel she was. And you know, again, elementary school, 10 and 11 year olds, I'm not good enough. I'm not playing. He's mad. He feels like I'm stupid. You know, just all the things that her perception, you know, it's her perception. But after the last game, my husband and I were there and we're like, you know what? That's it. You know, this is it. We're, you know, they have a tournament there. It's a club. It's just for school. It is not a club sport. It is in the Christian youth organization through CYO. And we had to send the coach an email and just say, Olivia will not be there for the final 2 weeks because it's too much for her and we're not going to put her through it anymore. And so we don't want a scenario to change her love for the game. So we've had to talk a lot because we also don't want her to think you can pick and choose coaches and colleagues because that's not reality either. And like, however,
balance.
It's a balancing act. And when you think there is true harm being done and you have tried to resolve it and you can't because it's outside your control. I'm one of those big, the controllables, you know, you can't control the weather, the refs, the coach, the officials. You can control your efforts, your intentions, your attitude, your preparation. And so we've just gone through trying to help her prepare and control what she can, and it hasn't worked. And so we had to make the call and we took her out, and she, you know, has had stories the following few days of kids who are coming class crying, why aren't you there? We miss you. What happened? And a lot of them have said, we're so sorry. And one child's like, I wish I would have stuck up to coach because I know why you feel this way. And it's just, you know, I think sometimes they learn to navigate some of those hard conversations, but I do think parents have to step in. And I don't even know if I 100% know it was the right thing to do, but I had to go with my intuition and gut as a parent and clinician that this is not good for her.
My husband and I always talk about that we're raising our kids to be good adults, not to be athletes.
Yes.
And so if they're learning life lessons from sports, great. That will make them be, you know, productive and happy adults. I think that's fantastic. But if it's getting to the point where they're, you know, we're focused so much on sports that we're forgetting what we're actually doing here and what our job is, then we got to bow out. And I think some of those hard situations are great for, you know, adulthood. I mean, how many times are we saying, like, I don't like working with this person, I have to stick it out, or this is toxic and unhealthy and I gotta go.
And I think it's, I think it's different too with kids though, because I mean, we can relate to it as adults, maybe on a peer level, like I don't care for this coworker or this neighbor or whatever. However, with our kids in coaches, that's like an authority situation, you know, it's a different, they're not on a level playing field. Now, you know, we could have that with a boss or something. But I do think it's different. And I do think it's our job as parents to, if that, you know, if it's damaging our child, to guide them or help them get out of a situation.
Yeah. Denise, do you, Urban Youth Academy in the past had like educational programs for coaches or parents who are going to be coaches? Do you still have programs that address that?
Yes, we do. And we have programming every evening, Monday, Wednesdays, baseball, Tuesday, Thursday, softball. And my favorite day is Friday with the littles, and they're just learning and it's so cute. But we have lots of parents in the lobby, and I don't want them just sitting in our lobby watching their kids and critiquing them. So then we'll pull them into the classroom. We'll talk about what the kids are doing and just preparing them for maybe they're in the car and they're going home and what conversations to have. We talk about letting your kid talk first, not saying you didn't do this well, or this is what happened, or you should have done this, things like that. So I think it's important to educate the parents on the games of baseball and softball. So they kind of know what's going on and let your kids communicate. And if they're having a bad day, then you're able to say, you know what, everyone has bad days and tomorrow will be better. Or I think that just giving your kids that time to have those conversations if they want to have them. And if they don't, then you talk about what happened at school or what's for dinner, things like that. So not being that parent in the car who takes the fun away or the kid feels that they couldn't be the best that they could be that day. So we have lots of resources. We do parent-child workshops, and I think that that's important because parents kind of know what the kids are going through. It's a little bit different if you didn't play a sport as a kid, but then you want your kid to be the best and the latest and the greatest, but you really don't know the rules of the game, things like that. So those are the things that are important as I come into this position because I've seen it from young, and then you get them in college and you kind of know what their experiences have been with their parents and things like that. So I think it's important to pour into the parents so they understand what the kids are going through, and you just leave open those lines of communication.
Well, and the parents and coaches are the ones that will change the culture. It won't be, it's not up to the kids.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's so cool you guys do that there. Like, what a great resource for people. It needs to be everywhere. For sure. Okay, so changing a little bit to an ideal world. If we, if sports were, sports, I cannot speak. If sports culture was ideal, what would that look like? Kind of the opposite of a lot of things we talked about. just reverse everything that was just said. That is the ideal sports. Anything you guys can think of that maybe we haven't touched on that would really help or just make sports culture more of a positive thing?
Yeah. I think there could be a balance into some of this. Balance is not always maybe the right word, but somewhere in between where we were 20 years ago and now, it should be about enjoyment. It should be about their growth and development. But if we want to pull in other pieces, it doesn't have to be the competitiveness or the perfection. It can be focusing on encouraging more self-awareness and acceptance and, you know, kind of value-driven opportunities, how to set goals that don't focus on, again, the uncontrollables, but more on their own personal growth mindset. And so I think they're providing a positive environment. And in my mind, the culture, I mean, really, a healthy culture comes from defining your values and then really seeing that through the coaches, the sports, you know, whether it's the school and the parents supporting that, but having it defined by the coach. And so I think when you see, in my mind, a healthy culture is going to have positivity and inclusion. And I think right now we've gotten away from that. And so we do need a big shift. And I, Donise, what you were just saying too, I mean, some of the focusing on parents and that ride home is so important. And I'm not sure if you all have seen yet the documentary with Not Good Enough that the Royals and Blue KC put together, yes. But so much importance on that ride home and what we're doing and how we talk to our kids about things. And there's so much we can do as parents and coaches. And I think we've got to own that instead of just, oh, it's gotten so out of hand, because it has, but what are we doing to change it?
Agreed. That's great. Really good.
And I would add to that one, I mean, we talked about control the controllables. I think that that's very important. I think that it still needs to be fun. And we talk about healthy lifestyles. I feel that I played sports as a kid, so I always want to be in shape, you know? So I think those are things that are important. And then I think about, as I look at coaches and things that are happening, when in life does your superior yell at you about everything that's going on? I mean, it's unrealistic, the culture that we're creating. So as we teach our kids to be respectful and, but get their point across, you know, that's not what we're modeling. So what does that look like? And I mean, I think we need to think about the people that we're putting in our kids' lives and not be afraid to, if it's not going the way that you feel is going to make a good impression on your kid, then maybe we shouldn't go to the last few weeks of this because it's not helping my kid's mental wellness and it's really not teaching them what the real world is about, you know? Yes. So those are decisions that you're going to have to make. But I think it just starts with having those conversations and getting the right people involved in your kid's life.
That's really good.
Amen.
Amen. And I also think, you know, I think sometimes we have to like check in with ourselves and think, okay, is this what my child wants or is this actually what I want? Do I want my kid to be included in this activity? Do I want to be able to go on the trips? Do I want to be, or is this actually what my kid wants or what's best for my kid? Or do I want my kid to do this because I did this and I loved it and it was so great for me, but maybe my kid is not even really good at the sport or they are really good, but they don't like it. So I think a lot of just being honest with ourselves is, which can be hard, is really important. So,
so we have people listening who maybe, you know, also agree and want youth sports culture to change or, you know, are so deep in this or maybe have avoided it. But could you just talk to the moms and dads that might be listening about just what would your advice be when they're sitting in the stands or they're enrolling their kid in the sport? Like, what would be your wrap up advice? Dr. Nola,
I think my first thought is just sit back and enjoy the ride when they're playing. Watch your child. I mean, some of we've talked about, look at grandparents watching their grandchildren the game and how excited they are if they touch a ball or have a hit. You know, in my mind, your child just needs to know you love them unconditionally and that you love watching them play, not how well they play, but that you love that you see their how determined they are, how hard they work, or the effort they put in. You know, I encourage parents to ask what questions and not why. Not why did you do this, but so what was your favorite part of the game? Or what, you know, what did you learn? And that's only when it's invited already by the child and you're having that conversation. But let them lead the way. You know, let them start the conversation. Let them, you know, tell you where they're at. But, you know, just be there to support them and help them make some of the decisions on their own. And then checking in with them, just what you said earlier, you know, what do you care about the most? Or what do you, you know, what is it that you love the most about this? Or helping them start to have some self-awareness on what's driving them, what motivates them. That also helps them learn about themselves. Mm-hmm. And also when things get off keel, it might remind them to think about things differently. And so, you know, I think my initial reaction is just trying to sit back and enjoy and try as hard as you can on the sidelines to be the parent that day and not the coach. You know, there's a coach out there for a reason. And, you know, yelling from the sidelines is not only detrimental to your own child, but often other children. So, you know, just trying to sit back and observe and not necessarily react. And then, you know, another thing, and not to put a plug out there totally, but if you, there is additional information and content on the shutoutthestigma.com site that we have an actual strategy for parents and a conversation guide that is really, really helpful. So I know we don't have time to get into all that.
Well, we will link to that.
Okay.
Making a note.
But it's a great resource. So it just, I do want to throw it out there. I've given it to many parents.
No, that's great.
And support, but more than anything, you know, when the parents are truly sitting back and enjoying it, your child wants to know that you're proud of them and that you love them. Mm-hmm. And that's what they need to see on the sideline, not your disappointment and frustration and critique.
Yeah, no, that's great. Donnie, is anything to add to that? Just advice for people sitting in the stands?
Yes, I think that you should always be your kid's biggest fan and know that someone is always watching. So I think I'll go another way as we are thinking about recruitment and you want your kids to be the best they can be and you want that college coach to notice them. If you're acting a fool in the stands, the college coach is not looking at your kid. They're looking at you. And I think that coaches are very open about that. They're just not recruiting the kid. They're recruiting the parents. So I think those are the things that are important, that someone is always watching, whether you're posting on social media or you're yelling in the stands, things like that. So just think about that, especially if your kid's really good and you have lots of coaches looking at them. Those are things that are important, not just your kid's ability. It's going to be how you behave.
Absolutely. Yes. So Denise, can you tell us how parents listening could get involved with the Urban Youth Academy or support it in the work that you do?
Yes. So we're located off of 18th and Vine in the Parade Park District. And
the coolest building, by the way. I love it's so cool.
Yes. Thank you. Come visit us. And you can go online to www.kcuya.com. We're doing a little refresh to our website, but go online and you can also find us through royals.com.
Great. Okay. And I know you guys do a lot to support girls and getting them in softball. I got to be a part of the Queen of Diamonds fundraiser one year, which was very cool.
Yes, softball is growing in Kansas City. So we have, we partner with Boys and Girls Club. So we have RBI here, and this is our second year supporting softball. So we're excited for the young girls in the community to learn to love the game of softball. So that's starting, I think we start in May with RBI. So that's important. And we also are the home field for UMKC softball and KCC softball as well. And also we partner with Kansas City Public Schools. So we're the home field for their baseball and softball teams.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Closing question. We could talk about this all day, you guys. This has been so good. Again, looking for people looking for more resources or ways to learn more. Dr. Nola, could you tell us a little bit about your partnership with the Royals, the Shut Out the Stigma? And then you had mentioned earlier the launch of, you guys have a full length documentary called Not Good Enough. Could you tell us a little bit about that? Just what that partnership looks like?
Sure. So, you know, one of the resources I was mentioning just now was part of that, but the Shut Out the Stigma, it's a partnership between the Kansas City Royals and Blue KC. And really it's all about promoting behavioral health as part of overall health and well-being while focusing on truly trying to remove the stigma surrounding mental health. And we kind of start with that. And that's hence the Shut Out the Stigma, helping people feel more comfortable really talking about mental health and how important it is and not just physical health. So there, you know, that is how the Shut Out the Stigma partnership started and then has continued to grow. We've raised money throughout the community to support our local community organizations. And we started our debut last year in 2023 with the Shut Out the Stigma letter installation with the, it was titled Open Letter. And I don't know how many of you guys have seen, but the open letters at different sports complexes. And
yes, I've seen it.
Yes. My daughter, Garmin, it had a big letter up and her coach, the story makes me always laugh a little, but I'll keep it short. But basically her coach stopped as they were walking in and was like, what's this letter? And my daughter told her all about it. And she was like, well, this is for parents. And I just, it was a proud moment for me.
That's awesome.
But I think they're up at the Mokian basketball facilities now. But so we have that going on right now. And really it's to help parents, exactly what we just said, be able to watch and understand the impact they're having on their children's mental health and how important it is for to keep the love of the game. And then one of the other, what one piece I definitely want to just put out there too, because I really truly believe eventually that I believe parents and coaches who are signing kids up for all sports should watch. But we had on October 9th, the premiere of Not Good Enough. And it was a documentary produced with the Royals and Blue KC that is really focusing on youth sports and how we influence children and the impact we have on them along with the mental health crisis. And exactly what we were all discussing today, you know, when we look that at the fact that one in six children between the ages of 6 and 17 experience a mental health disorder and suicide has grown to the second leading cause of death for children between 10 to 14, we know we have to do some things differently and pay attention to it. We shouldn't have kids stop playing sports by 13 or quitting after less than 2 or 3 years because it's not enjoyable. We've got to take a stance and change it. And so this documentary, I've, you know, heard from many, including my family and friends who have watched it, the impact it's had. So I encourage everyone to, and I hope that eventually it becomes a requirement for sports because I think it can really change the way some think.
Sure. And we will link to that in our show notes. So people don't have to search. We'll just have something you can just click on and we can watch that. So thank you so much. And thank you guys for putting that together and doing something about the culture. I think that's so important.
Yes, I agree.
Thank you both for being here. This is an excellent conversation and hopefully a good resource for parents to make their decisions when it comes to their kids and sports.
Definitely. Yes. Donnie's, thank you so much. Dr. Nola, thank you. And thank you guys both for all you do for our community and helping improve this culture. You guys are great.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, Sarah, we kind of have a sports theme for our closing today for what we're loving. So you go first. Sports themed in Kansas City.
Okay. Despite our clear opinions in that podcast, like this is not journalism. We can have opinions.
Yes, exactly. We're not unbiased people.
I will say that one of the bright spots in our sports experience has been at the Jewish Community Center. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'll have critiques of any organization or activity that you put your kids in. But the J has done, I think, a good job of trying to fight back against this specialization and elitism when it comes to sports, and continues to provide programming and continues to keep costs affordable, and just really focus on the fun.
Yes.
And I think it's a good resource and good program. They do, I think, you know, football, soccer, we've, our experience is baseball and softball. Okay. But our, you know, daughter is doing the softball program, and it has just been a good experience. It's well organized. And I do feel like it is the appropriate level of commitment and seriousness. And, you know, our son has tried some other leagues, but we're considering, you know, going back to the J, just because we're not, we're raising adults, not athletes. The McGinnity household theme.
I hear you.
Can I say it one more time?
No, for real. Okay. For anybody who's not familiar with the J, this is for people that are also not Jewish too, correct?
Yes.
Anybody can join.
Yes. It's a community.
I remember when I first heard about the J, I was like, oh, well, I don't think we could be involved there.
Yes.
But no, we can't. It's for anybody.
We are members and we go to the pool and the gym and all that.
Yes.
But,
it's for all people.
And if you're a member, you get a pretty significant discount on the programs.
That's awesome.
But it's for community. Like, most of the people on our team are not members of the J.
Yes.
So it's just almost gives you that taste of what it used to be like when it was through the city and
the good old days.
The good old days.
With the oranges on the sideline and the Gatorades.
Good Shasta day. Pop.
Shasta. We didn't get Shasta. I don't know what we drank.
Cola.
Tang, probably. Tang. Okay. Mine is, you guys know I love, I'm thrifty and I love saving money and I hate buying retail and I like conserving. So I love to shop for sports equipment, sports apparel. I am very biased towards Casey Groco, which is located off 119th and Stringline in Olathe, because I work there one night a week. But I just love the store, and it's open 24/7, not hour wise, but all year long. Not unlike the consignment sales, you know, that come and go. That's what I mean. Owner will be like, "Yeah, no, we don't work." But anyways, so that's where I get my kids' cleats. That's where I get their shin guards. That's where I get their socks. They have helmets. We don't carry like bats and that kind of thing, but just for, especially for your shoes, which you all know can be very pricey. I was there last night and we have 5,000 pairs of baseball pants that are in mint condition. Uh-huh. So when you're looking to go buy that kind of stuff, don't forget about Casey Groco. Don't forget about thrift stores, you guys.
Play It Again Sports.
Play It Again Sports is over, that's over out south in Overland Park.
Yeah, I think there's a couple locations, but
yeah. But the resale, you guys, it's just, there's no point in spending who knows how much on a pair of cleats that they're going to wear for 6 weeks.
And I get mine from Buy Nothing.
Oh, and refer back to our latest episode of Buy Nothing. Uh-huh. I see cleats on there all the time.
I'll do an ask. Like, stuff. This is the next size I need. Luckily, my kids are small, so we just ask our team.
Yes.
If you're going to drop that off at Savers, just drop it off right at our front porch.
We're actually right there. So keep in mind resale when it comes to this stuff for many, many reasons. So, all right, friends, that concludes our youth sports episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed our infused opinion and passion throughout the episode.
Raising adults, not athletes,
Raising
Megan.
Adults, not athletes. Love it, love it. Love to see it. All right. Thank you guys so much for being here, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you again for spending part of your day with us. We would love for you to share this podcast with other Kansas City moms, as well as rate and review, as this helps others find us. We would love to hear from you, whether it's to share about what you loved about today's episode or an idea for a future topic. You can email us anytime at kcmcpodcast@gmail.com. See you next time on another episode of Kansas City Momcast.